I'm going to read some verses from Acts chapter 20 this morning. Draw your attention to particularly one phrase. Acts chapter 20, the setting is where the Apostle Paul, having been at Ephesus, having gone on in his missionary journey, was now returning after some time. And he was to meet with the elders of the church before he made his way back to Jerusalem. And he gives them some counsel and encouragement before he boards the ship. Reading from verse 26, he's able to reflect of the time in which he had been among them and in which he had preached the gospel. And he says in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Amen. We'll end our reading just at the end of that verse. I want to take the last phrase in that verse 28. And it speaks there of the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. See, three simple thoughts. You automatically, immediately see the people here. He describes them as the church of God. He's given counsel to the elders of the church, of course, and he has the people in mind. And he defines them as the church of God. Now, of course, that is the visible church. There was a church there established in the faith in Ephesus, as there was in the other places to which Paul had been. And he has given these elders counsel as to regarding the people in that church. And we have a church here. It's the visible church. Today, there are those whom God has guided this way and who have been exercised to be communicant members, to get behind the church of God here, to be a full part of the work here. And that's a biblical precept. If you turn back to Acts chapter 9, you will see it was the case where the Apostle Paul was concerned. I say to the four young people before me today, you're following in good footsteps. You're following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. For if you consider Acts chapter 9 in the words of verse 26, you'll see here that Paul seeks to fellowship, he seeks to be a member of the church in Jerusalem. And he says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he is said to join himself to the disciples." The word there, the phrase there, said to join himself, it gives the thought of being joined like glue. He wanted to cement himself onto the disciples, onto the church of God in that place. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You will consider his application there. And it is a proper order. He was saved. He was saved on the road to Damascus, chapter 9 of Acts, before this verse. It gives us of that experience that Paul had. He was saved by God's grace. And yet now being saved, and a short time later, his priority is to join himself to the church. He was saved. The communicant membership is only for those that are saved, washed in the Savior's blood. That's a priority, men and women. It's a priority that God looks for in his people. You see, there's a wee problem here with his application. Many of them were afraid of him. This is the persecutor of the church just a short while back. Has he now come in amongst us as a deceiver? Is he now a pretender in order to do more damage? And it says there that they believed not that he was a disciple. But thank God there was a Barnabas. And Barnabas could testify of Saul's conversion. You look at the words of verse 27. It says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." He was accepted. His acceptance was on the basis he had seen the Lord. God had saved him. Moreover, he had heard the Lord's voice. He had heard the Lord's word to his heart. And there was the signs following. He went forth and he preached boldly. And men and women, it's the same where any application is made to this day. There has to be those who have seen the Lord, who have heard His word to their hearts in salvation, and there's the signs following. There's a change in their life. It has to be the change. And you see, finally there in that passage, his association. Verse 29, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. His association, he spake the truth. He spake the truth. What's more, you'll see in that verse, he stood up for the truth. And what's more, you'll see that he was opposed because of the truth. And men and women, that's the sort of members we need in our church. Those who will speak forth the truth of the gospel, those who will stand up for the truth, those who will be even hated because of the truth. It's the same today. And as these young people have come in for to be accepted as communicant members, I trust that that will be true of them. You'll not be liked. At times you'll be opposed, at times for being a free Presbyterian, but more so for standing up for the gospel and standing up for the Lord. But here's young people that are following the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. It's a biblical precept to be a member of the church, to join yourself unto it. And so Paul here in Acts 20, he's speaking of the church. He's speaking of the visible church. He's speaking, of course, of the invisible church with the body of Christ. We're part of Christ's body. And there's not just the little body here, but there's God's people throughout the world. That's the invisible body of the Savior. That's called His bride. And one day the Lord is coming back for His bride. And He will present His bride, the church, spotless and faultless before His Father. And so you see the people in the verse. Secondly, you'll also see the purchase. It says, they're speaking there, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased. He hath purchased. And that word purchase means to acquire, to obtain, and to do so in a manner that He will preserve it. Christ is the one who has purchased His people. The church is His possession. It belongs to Christ. He has purchased it. You purchase something, that belongs to you. And here we are considering how Christ purchased His people, purchased His church, His bride. He purchased it. He possesses it. It's not our church. It's Christ's church. And He is the sole head and king of this church. Not some pope or prelate or preacher over it. It's Christ. And you know, men and women, young people, as we consider the purchase that Christ made and His possession, then there ought to be the practice in our own lives to speak forth that. We need to live for Christ. As those who are part of His church and part of His body, we need to live as if we are His possession. That applies to each one of us. The words of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, they bring again to mind what we are considering. The apostle said to this church in Corinth, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, on account of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The communicant member of this congregation is encouraged in seeking application, part of the responsibility is to live a life glorifying to God, separate from sin and scandal, and do all that they can to promote holiness and truth in their community. Young people, remember the responsibilities. And we challenge each of our hearts afresh this morning. Our lives ought to be those that speak forth that we are Christ's possession. I am grieved. Grieved to hear of duplicity in the lives of many of our young people. And I know there's others in our congregation, our churches, and that's exactly the same. Where they will speak of being a Christian, and then maybe on a website further down, you'll find all the music of the world, all the immorality of the world. the films that they like of the world. Young people, guard yourself against those things. I'm speaking about Free Presbyterian young people here. Our lives are to be God-glorifying lives in the church. In practice. And so you have the people, you have the purchase. And thank God you have the price. The church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood, His precious blood. That's how He purchased us. It's the blood of God, it's His own blood, it's valuable. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. It's precious blood. And the price was that powerful sacrifice of the Savior on Calvary. That once for all sacrifice. What we remember this morning around the table of the Lord, the Savior gave His body to the smiters. And He gave His life that we might be saved. He redeemed us with His own precious blood. And the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, listen, it's sufficient to redeem His church. Every last one is a powerful sacrifice. It was a substitutory sacrifice. It was vicarious. Powerful. And that's how we're purchased today. That's how, young people, the Lord has purchased you. With His own precious blood. And by giving Himself on that cross of Calvary. I trust the Lord will bless those few words to each of our hearts this morning. The church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. It gives me great pleasure on behalf of our elders and in the public view of the congregation to extend the right hand of fellowship to 4 new members. To Emma Stewart, to Beulah Dixon, to Aaron Linden, and David Junkin. And young people, we extend the right hand of fellowship to you as it is spoken of in Galatians 2, of how Paul and Barnabas were also to receive the right hand of fellowship. We can say to you today that you've been encouragement already to us from the time that you've been in our midst. And it is our prayer that you would continue to be an encouragement to the congregation. And that we also would be an encouragement to you. We are to be an encouragement to one another. As brethren and sisters in the Lord. And may God greatly use you. In the days that lie ahead in your sphere of service, wherever the Lord has you. And we are encouraged and we extend to you the right hand of fellowship, Emma, Beulah, and David. That's a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord for thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, thy blessing upon these 4 young people. We thank the Lord for Emma and for Beulah, for Aaron and for David. We thank the Lord for saving them. Thank the Lord that thou hast revealed thyself to them. They have heard thy word of salvation to their soul. There's been the change in their life. Lord, we pray as they have come into full membership in our church, that we would be an encouragement to them. We would feed their souls. And they would also be an encouragement to us. Lord, we thank Thee for their homes and their families. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst take them up as a vessel meet for the Master's use. They would be the means of reaching others for the Savior. Now, Lord, continue with us around Thy table. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.